When Jackie realized that he wanted to go home, he realized that he wasn't sure that was the right way to go. And they went in one direction, and he said, "No, it must be the other way, Maggie." He said, "I'll tell you, it's almost dark." He says, "You look for a light. There'll be a light in the window. I know Tom." He said, "If we don't get home before dark, he'll always put a lamp in the window so we can see it." He said, "We have nothing to worry about, I don't think." And finally, those clouds began to come up. There was a slight shower, and it started to rain. He says, "Maggie, this way, let's go this way." And finally, in the distance, he saw a dim light. He says, see, Maggie, I told you. Good old Tom always puts a light in the window so that I would find my way home. He says, see, I would do that. I bet he's on the porch. He said, "I'll probably get bawled out for not getting home, but tell him we got lost." And as they started getting closer and closer to the light, Jackie wasn't quite sure. He didn't see familiar things. And finally, it was dark. And the only thing he could see was a light in a window. And when there was a flash of lightning, it kind of lit up the countryside a little bit where he could see. And the only thing he could see as he got close to this light was a house, a two-story house, that was even worse looking than his uncle's house. It was grown up in weeds, and the hinges were sagging, and the shutters were hanging. Some of the windows were broken out. It was a terrible looking deserted place. And he realized this wasn't his place. He stopped and got off Maggie and tied her to the fence post, opened the gate, and started to go up on the porch. He said at least he could ask which way was his place, or get directions at least. And just about the time he was ready to knock, he thought, maybe I should take one peek through the window first. So he tiptoed off the steps, went up in through the brush, and looked up through the window. And there before his eyes, he saw something that he'd never seen in his entire life. He couldn't believe his eyes. He stood there simply aghast. He looked over at Maggie, and he looked again in the window, and he couldn't believe what he saw. He was out in the forest, and he got lost, and the light he saw was, he thought, was Tom's, until he came to this old broken down house. And as he was getting ready to knock, he decided he would take one peek in the window first. So he crawled through the bushes, and as he pushed himself up on tippy toes, he could hardly believe his eyes. There by a fireplace, with a huge big pot boiling and bubbling, were three of the most horrible looking creatures, witches, that he had ever seen. They were around this huge pot, and he could barely hear bubble, bubble, double trouble, bubble, bubble, and they were stirring this big pot of something. Jackie just stood there on tippy toes with his mouth wide open. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. He rubbed his eyes and he couldn't believe it. And all of a sudden he saw one of the witches, the tallest of the three, come over to a table almost next to the window. And there was a huge book there. And he noticed on the cover it said, "The Secrets of the Witches." And as she was going through the leaves, he could see the different titles: how to make a broom fly, how to perform black magic. And he was going through all this, and the one that struck him the most interesting was how to make a broom fly. Finally, they turned to the page, how to make a witch's brew. And he could hear one of them say, "We need some more fingernails in there." And he saw one of the witches run over to the cupboard and get a box of what looked like cut fingernails. And they threw it into the porridge, and they began to go bubble, bubble, double trouble. And they began to stir this porridge. Jackie was so fascinated, he just watched and watched. And all of a sudden, he heard one of the witches barely audible,
"Well, we better get upstairs and get our beauty nap. The board should be done before long."
And he saw the three of them go upstairs. He started to go over towards Maggie, and the first thing he wanted to say, "Maggie, let's get out of here and run fast." But there was something when he saw how to make a broom fly. And finally he decided that if they're asleep, that maybe he could sneak in there, tear out this page and take it home, and he too. I said, "Boy, would Tom look silly if I made some of this and had a broom fly." He climbed back up on the porch, turned the knob, the door squeaked. He waited. He heard nothing. He tiptoed in to the book. Slowly he began to leaf through it. There it was. How to make a broom fly. He took it, ripped the sheet out and stuck it in his pocket. And he was going to start to leave, and as he turned around, he bumped into something. He looked up.
Well, what do we have here?
Good evening.
The sisters, come on down.
Pretty soon, two of the witches start coming down.
What is this we have here? Well, we caught him snooping around.
Jack said, I just stopped in to get warm, and thank you very much, and I'll be going now.
He started to leave. One of the witches grabbed him with her big bony fingers.
Not so fast. Sit down, boy. What's your name?
My name's Jackie Anderson, he said, and I got lost in the forest, and he said, Tom is waiting for me, and thank you so much. You're very nice, and I'll be going now.
He started to get up. She pushed him.
Sit down!
The three witches got together, and all he could hear was, "Ouch, ouch, ouch."
Yes, well, that's a good idea.
They all turned and looked at him.
Said, "I guess we're not very hospitable. We didn't introduce ourselves. My name is Drusilla, Matilda, and Hilda."
Jack said, "I'm very happy to meet you."
Well,
one of the witches went over to the brew and began to recite a strange chant, bubble, bubble, double, bubble, and went on. Jackie couldn't even understand what she was saying.
He said, I don't want to bother you, witches. I know you're very busy, and I'll be going now.
You sit down, Jackie. We have some work for you to do.
Oh, I'll be glad to work. You want me to stir the porridge?
No, Jackie, no.
Finally, the three witches got together again.
Well, do we still have the map? He'd have to have the map. Oh, we have the map, sister, you know that. Well, then that's what we should do.
The witches went back.
Jackie, says, we're going to ask a little favor of you.
Well, Jackie says, sure, what do you want me to sweep up the place? I'm good at that. I'll get a broom.
Sit down.
Says, we have a little errand for you to do.
Jackie says, well, I'll be glad to do it.
He said, but we're not quite ready. We're going to put you in the closet, he says, until morning.
Matilda, throw him in the closet.
Come on, Jackie.
She picked him up with her bony fingers and took him over to the closet and locked the door.
He said, this is very fortunate to have somebody like this stop in on us. Just what we needed, just what we needed, said Matilda. He said, Drusilla and Hilda, this is going to be one of our greatest, greatest deeds we have ever done. He said, come on, let us go upstairs and finish our beauty nap.
The three of them went upstairs. There was Jackie in the closet. He knew he had to get out, but it was locked. And as he sat there with practically tears in his eyes, thinking what Tom would be doing looking for him, and if he could ever get out of here,
he'd get out of there fast. And then all of a sudden, as he sat in this dark closet, he began to feel old newspapers and boxes and spider webs. And then he looked through the keyhole, and he could see that the key was in the lock, because he could see the flashes and the flame on the wall that was flickering. And then he reached around for a piece of old newspaper, and he stuck it under the door. Then he reached into his pocket and got a nail, an old bent nail that he had, like he had in his pockets, all kinds of junk. And he began to push on the key, and all of a sudden it dropped. Now he crossed his fingers. Oh, I hope it dropped on the paper. I hope it dropped on the paper. He slowly pulled the paper back into the closet. And in the darkness, he began to feel nothing, nothing. And by the time the paper was completely in, he felt the key. There it is. It's the key. He picked up the key and stuck it in the lock, opened it, and slowly looked around. There was nobody around. He knew now that he would be on his way fast. As he started to run, he ran to the front door, started to pull open the door. It was locked. He turned around, and at the head of the stairs, "Well, did you think you'd find the doors open?" "Good evening," he said. I was just going for a walk." "Well, that's very nice. Sisters!" They all came running. "What is wrong, Matilda?" "Our little boy escaped." "Whose fault was that, Matilda?" "I don't know. I left the key in the lock." "That's stupid. That's stupid. Since we're going to have to operate immediately." So they brought him downstairs. And they looked at Jackie. "Jackie, we were going to wait till morning, but we want you to do us a favor." Jackie says, "Well, sure." He says, "You may not understand this, but you're going to have to do as you're told. Is that a promise?" "Oh, sure, I promise. I'll promise." "Not so fast, not so fast. You will make a promise, but you must drink the curse of the witches." "That's just in case you decide to double-cross us."
"Yes, sir, ma'am.
But what if I do what you say?" "Then we shall remove the curse of the witches. Drusilla, stir up the brew." She reached up in the cupboard and began to mix strange concoctions of bluish and greenish, and began to bubble. And finally she came with a smile, as much as a witch could smile, with her long nose and pointed chin.
"I think this will be suitable."
Jackie looked at it. What is that?"
"That, my dear boy, is the curse of the witches. Just in case you plan to double cross us."
"Well, what do you want me to do with it?"
"You drink it, boy, you drink it. And then if you should double cross us, we will give you pain like you've never heard or felt pain before. Now, take it in your hands and drink it."
"Well, you didn't tell me what I had to do, though. Maybe I don't want to drink it." The witches looked startled at each other.
"What does he mean? He won't. Jackie, no one ever says no to a witch. You know that.
Or maybe you don't." "No, sir, no, sir. I mean, yes. I meant to say yes."
"All right. Matilda, get the map out."
They spread it on the table. He says, "This is the map of the castle. One of the giants that live in this castle, and there are 10 of them, has a magic belt that belongs to our queen. Understand?"
"No, I mean, what queen?"
"You stupid boy. Don't you know where we live?
No, I don't know.
He says, we live in the darkness side of the moon. And we have rules and regulations just like you do. We are not allowed to go to this land. But you can go and return the belt to us, and you will be free. Well, Jackie?
Well, do I just ask for it? The three witches laughed.
Ask for it, my dear boy. You're lucky to come back alive.
But how do I get there? That's why you shall have the map. And then the three witches stuck their heads together.
Well, I guess we can give it to him. Why not? It's no good for us here.
Drusilla came forward. Jackie, we're going to help you because we like you. We're going to give you the invisible sword to take with you for your protection.
Jackie said, what?
He says, you don't know anything, do you?
He said, I'm beginning to believe you're a stupid boy.
I'm not really. I just don't understand. Matilda went over to the wall, reached up, and took down the invisible sword. She says, here.
Here what? The sword, you stupid boy!
Jackie reached out, and sure enough, he felt it.
He says, take the belt. Stick it in the hilt.
He said, it might come in handy. It may just come in handy.
Now, Matilda, bring the brew over.
They handed him the brew, and they all stared at him.
Drink it, boy, come on. Drink it.
Jackie looked at this horrible concoction.
Said, now, come on, boy. Drink it!
So the witches insisted that Jackie drink it. And finally, as he put it up to his lips, he began to gulp it. And the witches smiled.
That's a good boy. Every bit.
And finally, the last drop, he gulped. He looked at himself. I don't feel any different.
Oh, you won't, you won't. Unless you double-cross us.
Now, they took the map and spread it on the table.
This is the map of the castle.
Jackie, that's a big place, isn't it?
Of course, stupid. Giants wouldn't live in a small castle. Now, you take this road, Drexel Road, out in front, and keep moving till you come to the river. Understand? When you get to the river, you cross the river into the woods. Then over the ridge and down this hill, you'll see the castle. Now, there is a moat.
What's a moat?
Oh, you stupid boy! Don't you know that every castle has water around it filled with alligators so no enemy can get inside?
Jackie's eyes almost popped out.
Well, how do I get in there? That's your problem. You get inside the castle.
Jackie said, but where do I find this magic belt?
Boy, if we knew all the answers, we wouldn't need you, would we?
I guess not.
You find it. Only one thing let me caution you for. Do not open the door to 213.
Why not?
Must we tell you everything?
Well, I won't open 213, but what's in there?
It's right next to the county house where the giants keep the gold. And in it, if you should open the door, is the dragon room. Dragons? Of course, boy. Where have you been all your life?
Well, I don't know, but I've never met any giants or dragons or witches.
Well, you have now. And you better make the best of it. Now, is there anything else?
Jackie says, no. Drusilla and Matilda looked at each other.
Well then, boy, you better be on your way. And remember, if you should double-cross us, The curse of the witches is on you.
I won't.
Be off with you, boy.
Jackie went out the door, over to Maggie with tears in his eyes. Maggie says, you won't believe all this, but we're going to go to the land of the giants.
Maggie just looked at him.
He says, come on, he says, we got to follow Drexel Road. He got on Maggie and they started down the road. And they traveled and traveled, and far in the distance he saw the river.
He says, there's the river. He said, just like they said.
And when he got to the river, it was rather swift. He got off and looked. Well, he could make it, maybe, if he got a couple logs. But what about Maggie? He sat on a stump. It was early morning, and he knew that he could never do this for those witches, and that he'd probably have to go back. But when he thought, the curse of the witches, he decided he better do what they said. And as he sat there, his hands went across the hilt of the invisible sword. And he said, wait a minute, Maggie. He says, I'll use this for an axe. He went over to a tree and took a slice of it, and it came down. Chopped off the branches right and left. Every time he'd take one swing of it, the branch would come right off. As he was cutting trees down to make a raft, he saw a farmer come by. And Jackie waved to him, and he says, good morning there, boy. And Jackie took his hand, because that's all the farmer saw, and waved it across the tree, and the tree fell down. The man's eyes almost popped out. He says, giddy up, giddy up. And he tore out as fast as he could go. Jackie scratched his head. Gee, he acts strange. I wonder what's wrong with him. He put the logs together and made a raft, because he had experience with rafts. He took Maggie and took her on the raft and got a long pole, and they headed out towards the river. And he kept drifting with the current, but pushing on to the other side. Finally, a half a mile downstream, they landed on the other side, and he tied the raft to a tree so it wouldn't float away. As he looked around, he noticed that the trees were much bigger. Everything was much bigger. And he must realize that he was now in the land of the giants. He says, come on, Maggie. They started through the forest. And all of a sudden, in broad daylight, he thought what he heard was thunder. And he looked up into the sky, and there was no clouds. And then he listened again. And then he heard a loud boom. And he almost shook the ground. And finally, he heard something like sounds far away. And he realized that the giants were in the forest hunting. Because not far away, he saw a huge game bag. And he heard voices coming closer. Well, that ought to be enough for today. Yes, he said, this should keep us in food for several days. He knew that the giants were coming for the bag.
Maggie, you stay right here. He says, and you follow the giants. He said, I know a way I can get into the castle.
He rushed over to the bag and crawled in with some big dead rabbits. It wasn't long before he felt the bag being picked up and swung over somebody's shoulder. And he heard these giants talking about what a wonderful day they had hunting. He wanted to see what was going on, but he couldn't. And as his hand felt the sword again, he pulled the sword out and cut a big hole in it, and he could see out. As they got to the guard, to the moat and the drawbridge, who goes there? He says, it's Ivan and Hans. We've come from the hunt. Oh, very well. Did you have a good day? Yes, very good. I'll let the drawbridge down.
Jackie watched as they let the drawbridge down.
He looked to the side at the moat where the water was with alligators swimming around, very hungry. And he wondered, how could he have else gotten in here? They crossed the drawbridge into the castle, and Jackie watched. It was a big castle. And finally, they went up one flight of stairs and turned to the right, threw the sack on the table, and
one of the giants looked over towards the one that was by the stove. He says, "Hey," he says, "there's your food. Fix it up good." "Oh, you must have had a good day." "Yes, we've had a good day and we're tired." He says, "Let us know when supper's ready." They left. But Jackie kept looking out through the hole. And all of a sudden, he saw the giant, the one that was cooking, come over, reach in with his big hand, and pulled out one of the rabbits. And he knew that one by one, he would be pulling out all the game that was in the knapsack. So, as Jackie started looking around, where could he go? The next time the cook came over, and they picked up the whole knapsack and put it over on the cabinet. Jackie, now, that was even worse, because at least the giant could look over the corner of his eye and see him. He began preparing the rabbits and started to come for the next one and the last one. And as he did so, he pulled the rabbit right over Jackie, and Jackie fell out of the knapsack, off the edge of the cabinet, right into an open compartment below. It was the sugar bin. It was slightly ajar. Jackie was up to his knees in sugar, and he looked up. The giant didn't see him. He decided this would be a good place to hide, at least for a while. So he stayed in the sugar bin for a long time, at least it seemed that long, because the giant was in there just cooking and cooking. And finally, they began to set the table. There were 10 giants and 10 big plates and 10 big forks and 10 big knives and 10 big everything. The giants began to come in. They're laughing and shouting and having a big time. Jackie was hoping they'd get out of there so he could crawl out. He was tired of being knee-deep in sugar. And finally, all the giants sat down and began to eat. And they were stuffing their mouths and talking and laughing and joking. Jackie hoped they'd mention the magic belt. Not a word was said. Until, "I need another cup of coffee." "Okay, Ivan, all right." And another cup of coffee was poured. As he went to the sugar bowl, it was empty. "I need some sugar." "All right, Ivan, we'll get you sugar." The giant cook went over to this open drawer and pulled it out. Without even looking down, scooped up a bowl full of sugar with Jackie in it, set it down on the table, put the cover on it. Jackie could see through the crystal glass, but he tried to hide so they wouldn't see him. And as the giants were all talking and eating, Ivan reached down with his spoon for a teaspoon of sugar, which was very, very big. And he reached down and picked up Jackie and a teaspoon of sugar. And he started to haul it over across the table. Jackie looked down and saw this huge pond of black coffee in the cup. And he knew if he ever got into that boiling hot coffee, he would never get out. Jackie had hidden in the sugar bin, and then they needed to get the sugar. And they set the sugar on the table, and the giant reached in with the spoon, and Jackie was peeking out behind the pile of sugar, and he looked down at this huge swimming pool, black swimming pool. It was just covered with black coffee, and he knew that now, as soon as the giant turned the spoon over, he would be slipping down and be scalded to death. As the giant was going over the coffee and almost ready to turn it, right beside the coffee was a sandwich. And as the sugar was falling down, Jackie narrowly missed the edge of the cup and fell right beside the sandwich on the soft bread. He knew he couldn't start running because the giants had seen him. So to hide very quickly, he hid between the slices of bread. And he thought, well, now this will be a safe place. He waited. And he heard them laughing and roaring with laughter about how they found the rabbits. And every so often he'd peek out from behind this big hunk of meat in the sandwich and see these big teeth grinding and chewing. And as he looked around, that's all he saw was great.